Welcome to the Life Self-Mastery podcast, where we bring in entrepreneurs who have created online businesses and improved their lifestyles. Here's your host, Rohit Malhotra.
Hi everyone, I'm Rohit from LifeSelfMastery.com, and today we have Omar Senhong. Omar is a co-founder of the $100 MBA, which is the largest alternative business education online, and is also the host of iTunes Best of 2014 podcast, $100 MBA Show. Omar is also the co-founder of Webinar Ninja, which is an all-inclusive, easy-to-use webinar platform that allows you to create a webinar in 10 seconds flat. Welcome to the show, Omar.
It's great to be here, Rohit. Thanks for having me.
Please do share your journey and why you started the podcast and why did you build a webinar platform?
You know, I've been a podcast listener for the past, I would say, 10 years. And when podcasts kind of got started, I really enjoyed the medium. Like, I thought it was an interesting way to learn and to just brush up on skills. I used to love storytelling podcasts as well. I mean, it never occurred to me that I can start a podcast until one year I went to a conference called New Media Expo. And from there, my wife Nicole and I, she's my co-founder as well in the business. And we thought, hey, maybe we could do this. Maybe we could start a podcast. And we actually started a podcast that wasn't the $100 MBA show. It was a podcast that didn't do so well. It failed. It was an interview podcast. But we gave it 46 episodes and we really took a look at why it didn't do well. We loved podcasting. We thought it was a great medium. We had some great guests on. We talked about business. But then I realized, you know, I'm not the best interviewer. And actually, my background is in teaching. I'm a teacher. I have a master's in education. I taught the high school university level. And I quickly realized I should be teaching on this podcast and not interviewing. So we regrouped and we took 2 months and just focused on creating a new podcast that just focused on how to deliver great business lessons with me in a lesson format. We launched the $100 MBA show. After working on it for 2 months, we recorded about 30 episodes before we even launched because it's a daily show. And we were really excited about it because we really felt like that really is how I can add value with podcasting, is by leveraging my strengths as a teacher, because I feel like that's kind of my superpower if I had one. And that's really what people really love about the show, is that how much I can get into in a short format podcast. Is about 10, 15 minutes long each episode. And they go away learning something about business and how to implement it. So that's kind of the birth of the show. We launched in August 2014. It's been great ever since. So it's been over 3 years now. So I can't believe it's been over 3 years. But that's the birth of the show.
So when you talk about a podcast being successful, are you talking about in terms of the number of downloads and the kind of reviews they get?
For us, it was downloads. For us, our metric was, you know, how much are we affecting? How much are we influencing people? How much are we actually making an impact? And really, it wasn't the number of downloads more than the trend. So when we launched, you know, we had, you know, we just weren't, you know, unknown. So we were not making that many downloads, you know, maybe 300 at a good day, 400 on our best day of our life or something. But as this show went on and went past episode 20, 30, 40, went past new and noteworthy, you know, the trend was going down. Our download numbers were not going up. They were going down. We were trying to figure out why, you know, and it just wasn't there. And the reason why we focused on downloads is because we also had a blog and we wanted to supplement our audience building with podcasting. And we felt like, hey, our blog is actually getting more traffic than downloads on the podcast. So we just felt like it's not where it should be and where we want. And we knew that sometimes it's not just about marketing, it's about the product itself. It wasn't the best show in the world. It was horrible, actually, if I'm going to be honest with you. It wasn't a good show, if I'm going to be honest with myself. But when we crafted the $100 MBA show, we really dedicated the time to build a really good show. I actually knew inside me before I actually launched the show that it's going to be successful. I just felt like, this is a good show. This is great. I mean, you know when you do good work, you know. I always equate it to basketball I play basketball for fun, you know. So in basketball, when you shoot a shot, you know, often you know it's going to go in because it just feels good leaving your hands before it goes in the hoop. So same kind of feeling. So for us, I knew that was how it was going to be with the $100 MBA show, but I didn't imagine, you know, kind of the growth and success that we had that quickly releasing the show. The first week we were getting like 5,000 downloads an episode, and then towards current date we're getting around 50,000 per episode. So it's the reach that we're getting is really what we were looking for. So that's what I was trying to do.
Interesting. So let's talk about Webinar Ninja. Why did you decide to get into such a competitive space?
That's a great question. So we have our program, the $100 MBA Show, and then we have an educational program, a course called the $100 MBA on our website. And that's kind of our first product that we had. And I was trying to get new customers into the $100 MBA and also cultivate the community that's in there. And so I was doing webinars doing that. And this is back in 2014. Late 13, early 14. And I really didn't enjoy the software I was using, the tools, the options that are out there, very complicated. You had two choices. You're either going to choose a software that's really overpriced and that didn't do everything. You still had to do all the landing pages and the marketing and the back end, the email notifications. And it still wasn't catered for what I was trying to do, which is to educate and to sell my program. Or you would have to hodgepodge it and build it yourself, DIY it, and that's really, really hard. So what I did is I actually was doing webinars, but it was so much work to build that webinar and to run that webinar. I was like, gosh, I got to do this every week. This is so much work. So I decided to consult with a freelance developer. I know a little HTML, CSS, not enough to build my own software, but he helped me put together a very simple, simple, basic webinar software that I just wanted to use for myself. So I don't have to reinvent the wheel every week. So I decided to do that. I ran my first couple webinars with it, and our attendees on the webinar were asking, hey, what are you using for this webinar? And I just said, it's just something I slapped together, a software that I created for myself. And they're like, well, can I buy it? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I never thought about selling it. You know, I never thought about getting into software. So Nicole and I decided, hey, maybe we should just open it up for pre-sales to see if there's any interest. Because a lot of people just say, hey, that looks cool, I would buy it. But when they have to actually give up their money, it's a different story, you know, when they actually have to pay for something. So we opened it up for pre-sales to only 150 members, this very simple software. And we thought if we sell, then we'll clean it up and make it available for commercial use. So we sold out in 48 hours, those 150 spots. So we're like, okay, it's not a lot of spots, but that's enough of a beta group that we can use to see if this has legs. And it's enough funding for us to be able to, you know, clean it up and build something that is significant. And then later on, we did another round of pre-sales where we opened it up for another 100 members and we sold out in 24 hours. So for us, we're like, okay, there is an interest, there is a need for an easier software. So that kind of was the birth of Webinar Ninja. It kind of happened by accident, kind of happened by me scratching my own itch, as well as just stumbling upon a need in the market, a pain point in the market that I was experiencing, kind of being my first client and then being able to provide a solution for the people out there. And since then, we've grown since that was April 2014. So we went from 250 beta members to now over 12,000 users. So it's been an incredible journey to see it grow. And obviously, we've been through a whole bunch of iterations. We just released Webinar Ninja 5.0 in September, you know, trying to innovate and improve the software. And it's you know, something far beyond what it was at the start. You know, it's not that dinky software anymore, but we're proud of it. And that's kind of the journey, how we got started. And we kind of grew steadily, but we grew as fast as what we can afford because we're self-funded and we made sure that we actually were able to afford the development and grow when we only had the money.
When you got your first set of 150 users, did you leverage your podcast or did you leverage the audience of other influencers to reach to 12,000 users?
I would say the reverse. I leveraged my podcast, my existing email list, just people I know, friends from conferences to get my first 150 users. Like those first beta members, I know them by name. They're my friends. I know them. You know, like they're not all like my best friends, but you know, I know them. If I saw them at a conference, I'd know them by a name. I would, you know, shake their hand. We would, you know, catch up. And they really helped me build the software that the market wants because they really gave us a lot of great feedback. They got a really good deal. They got a lifetime deal, which is like unheard of. And they really were able to build the software and help me kind of improve it in the early stages. And then from taking it from 150 to 12,000, that's just a lot of work and a lot of content marketing. We wrote a lot of great blog posts on our blog. We did a whole bunch of, you know, obviously we're a webinar software. So we ran, you know, a weekly webinar. We did a webinar for our members. We did just a lot of content marketing to grow. We did a bit of Facebook ads, but not much. I would probably say spent a total of maybe $25,000 on Facebook ads over the course of the last 3 years. But we really heavily leveraged the power of creating great content. And one of the biggest pieces of content that really helped us is a webinar course. So I noticed that a lot of internet marketers, a lot of entrepreneurs online are creating these courses on how to run an effective webinar. And some of these courses are good and some of these courses are absolute garbage, to be honest with you. And they charge lots of money for it, $500, $600, $2,000 for it. And I thought, I think I could put a better course together. And being a teacher, somebody with a teaching background, I felt like I had the skills to convey how to be a better teacher online, how to be a better workshop facilitator on a webinar. I kind of embedded, you know, presentation skills into it, as well as how to put your lesson together, how to, you know, use the technology, all that kind of stuff. So kind of the A to Z of creating your first webinar. And I offered this course for free. And we've iterated this course over and over. And it attracted a lot of people to our website because they're like, hey, this is awesome. I get a 7-part video course. Even if I'm just thinking about doing webinars, it's a good way to get started and learn, and it's absolutely free, so why not? So that kind of helped build our email list and get people who are interested in doing webinars to try us out.
You know, if you aren't new to a niche, if I don't have an email list, what is the best way I can get customers to come onto my webinars?
Well, you're going to need an audience, so you should definitely start building content around that. First of all, like if you have a zero audience and you want to start doing webinars, then you need to attract people in different ways. So one of them is you need to build an email list through content. So whether you want to write blog posts on your blog so people can find you through SEO, through people can find you through, you know, Google searches. If you want to create a podcast and people can find you through there. If you want to run a video show and put videos on YouTube and link up your email list, I highly recommend you get somebody on your email list first through great content. That way you can build some trust. And then once they're on your email list, because they've consumed something from you that they see, hey, this person knows what they're talking about. I've really benefited from their content. Then you can invite them to a webinar. But in my experience, and we've tried and experimented a whole bunch where we would run traffic and run ads to straight to a webinar or go or try to promote to people directly to a webinar. It's too soon. You need to build that relationship first. And then once they're on their email list, then you can invite them to your webinar. And then on the webinar, you're really going to build trust and be able to convert them into buyers of your products and services. So that's kind of the formula that has worked for us. And I really feel like that is something, it just takes time. You need to just invest. And I say time, we're talking about a couple months. We're not talking about years. You know, to be able to build an email list of 100, 200, 500, 1,000 people where you can invite them to a webinar and you'll have a few hundred people show up. So I think it's definitely doable. It just requires you to create the right content. Yes, you could drive traffic through ads, but you have to remember that's cold traffic and these are people that may or may not show up. They may not be qualified. They may not be really interested. You want to filter them first through great content.
Got it. And is there any best time or day for doing webinars?
Yeah, actually, we wrote a pretty meaty post on our blog about that. And it's, if you just Google best time to run a webinar, I think we're ranked number one for that. So, and it's a great blog post. It all depends on who your audience is and where they're located. So, if your audience is in Australia or is in Great Britain or in India or in the US, it all depends because these are different cultures, different countries, and everybody has a different kind of best time. And in this article, we detail what we found through our own data of people running webinars using our software from different parts of the world. What are the best times, what are the best show up rates, the best attendance rates in the different parts of the world? For example, in the US, 11 a.m. PST is a really good time. A lot of people, it's before lunchtime in the workplace, but also it coincides with around 2 p.m. in East Coast in the US. What you really shouldn't be doing is running one webinar for everybody in the world. That's just really hard because people in Australia are going to be sleeping while you're running a webinar in the daytime or in the afternoon in the US. So you got to kind of be mindful of that and say, okay, I'm running this webinar just for my people in Australia or for my audience in the UK or for the US. So the article is really great in detailing, the best time for depending on where you are and what you're trying to achieve.
Is there any specific length on how long should a webinar be? You must have done a lot of webinars. So what is the best strategy on that?
One thing that a lot of people don't understand online is in order for somebody to learn something, two things have to occur. One, they have to comprehend, they have to understand what you're actually teaching, and then they have to retain it. They have to be able to remember how to do what you just taught them to do so they can reproduce it. And a good example is if you remember as a kid when you're in math class, the teacher would show you how to do long division and you would have to remember all the steps so you can do it for yourself when you did it on your worksheet or in your workbook, right? So in order for you to be able to learn how to do long division, it's not only that you know understand how to do it, but you have to remember how to do it. So in that case, you have to keep that in mind when you're doing a workshop online. it can't be too long and you can't give too much information. You have to really get very specific with your topic and really make sure you just stay on topic and cover that. So I schedule webinars for 1 hour, but the whole hour is not straight up just teaching. I spend a good time answering questions at the end. I spend a good time introducing people in the beginning. If I'm giving them a special offer, that's another 5 minutes. So if I'm looking at the core lesson, it's about 25 to 30 minutes. And a lot of that also includes recapping, reminding them of the procedures, showing them how to do it, getting them to participate and asking questions, eliciting answers and saying, hey, what's step number two? What's step number three? What's step number five? And get them to repeat in the chat to get them involved and get them to remember. And I feel like that's kind of the sweet spot. I've gone like about an hour and a half webinar, but attendance rates do go down. People drop off because people have things to do. You know, people usually schedule things on the hour. You know, they have another meeting, they have another call, they have, you know, pick up their kids from somewhere, whatever, you know, so you got to be mindful of people's time. And obviously this is applicable to a free workshop, but if somebody's paying for a workshop, they're paying for a webinar, usually I do those for about 2 hours because I want to give them their money's worth.
Does webinars only work for digital products or courses or B2B sales, or you can do webinars for selling physical products as well?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we have so many users that use webinars to sell their physical products. We have people that sell like iPhone accessories, that sell jewelry, and people don't like a lot of people realize when they go on these webinars, they watch these webinars, they're like, wow, this is like their own shopping network. Yeah. They use their webcam and they display their products on the webcam up close. They show them the finer details. They show them how to use it. They give them examples. They show them all the different colors in real life on camera. It's incredible. People love it because people can ask questions. Hey, can I see that again? Can you show me the stitching of that purse? Can you show me that? How many carats is that bracelet? And it allows people to interact and see their products up close on camera. And with laptops today and cameras today, they're all in HD now and the resolution is fantastic. And if you just have some decent lining or, you know, a well-lit room, you're going to look great on camera as well as your products. So it's definitely used that way. And a lot of people, they say it's even more effective than shopping networks on TV because it's so interactive. On TV, you just watch, maybe you'll take a caller or two, but here on a webinar, people can ask questions, people ask to see something else. Oh, do you have that iPhone color in blue? Oh, okay, can I see what it looks like? Oh, great, that looks amazing. You know, that looks better than what I saw in the pictures or whatever in the slideshow. So it allows people to really understand how to use the physical product. They get a closer look at it. They get to ask questions that are specific to it. And it's a great way for people to show off their products as sellers.
You recently launched the new version. So how's your product different from something like GoToWebinar or Zoom platform?
Webinar Ninja is catered for small business owners, speakers, authors, people that are looking to grow their audience and sell their products online. So what we try to do, and our differentiator really is to make the technology super easy. We want the technology to kind of fade in the background so you can just focus on your presentation. So you can focus on what you want to present to your audience. And that's really what we built the software for. And that's really, like when I mentioned my backstory, I just wanted something that's easier to use. It's not so complicated. It's not so hard to use every single time I run a webinar. With Webinar Ninja, you can create a webinar in literally 10 seconds. It takes 10 seconds to create a webinar. We build everything in the background, your registration pages, your thank you pages, everything. When it's time for you to run the webinar, when you enter what we call the studio or where you run your webinar as a host, everything is laid out perfectly right in front of you. You have the chat on the right. Users can submit questions on the bottom. So it's separate from the chat. So you don't have to look for the questions in the chat. They get buried and they get lost and it's hard to find. So we make the question area separate. We have polls. We have special offer buttons where people can buy your products pressing those buttons as an attendee. But one of the biggest kind of features that we launched with 5.0 that really people love and has made their life so much easier is the ability to upload your presentation slides right to Webinar Ninja. So typically with any other webinar or meeting software, if I want to do a slide presentation using PowerPoint or Keynote, I would have to open up my Keynote or PowerPoint on my computer. I would then have to share my screen with my software, and then I would have to, you know, go back and forth from my Keynote to my software to see the chat, and I would have to toggle back and forth through screens. And a lot of people get confused. Is it on full screen? You know, it's not super efficient. So with Webinar Ninja, what we've done is we allowed you to upload your actual PowerPoint slides to Webinar Ninja. We process them and we create them to be presented right in front of your audience. So you can navigate and go through your slides right inside of Webinar Ninja. So you don't have to leave. You don't have to even use PowerPoint or Keynote. you can just navigate through that. You can also insert videos as well. You can insert YouTube videos. So you want to show a tutorial, or maybe you want to start your webinar with something funny or an icebreaker. A lot of people use our YouTube videos. We have custom layouts where you can change the layout. So you can put yourself picture in picture with your slides, or just have the slides, or put your picture and YouTube on the bottom, or you can share a screen if you like, if you want to show something on your browser. So again, we're just trying to simplify things, make it easy, but also have the power and the functionality at your fingertips so you don't have to mess around with anything else. It's an all-inclusive kind of thing. We pride ourselves in that. We really believe in our software, and that's why we offer a 14-day trial, because we want people to try it out, run a few webinars and say, okay, cool, this is something that I can use. This is so much easier than I thought. That's really what we're trying to do, is get people to start using webinars because our software is a lot easier than other softwares on the market.
So let's quickly do the top three. What's your favorite business book?
I love reading books. It's my favorite way to learn. Let me just tell you, one of my favorite books I've read recently is Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. This is Phil Knight, the founder of Nike's autobiography. And really an amazing book, great story. Really enjoyed that book.
Got it. And if you could go back in time when you started your business, what is the one thing you would have focused on?
I would focus on just creating better content. I think a lot of people rush and try to make money really quickly. And you need to work on your craft. You need to get better at whatever you do, whether you're speaking, whether you're on video, whether you're writing blog posts, whether you're doing webinars, whatever they are. You know, you have to allow yourself time to get good. It takes a decade for a surgeon to be decent. So I think I was so in a rush to have a successful business and to make money, I forgot that that's not going to happen unless what I can provide is of great quality. And I need to really invest the time and do that. So I would definitely focus on that more.
And what's your favorite online tools? Example, Lead Pages, Gmail, Slack.
Besides Webinar Ninja, obviously I'm biased, but outside of that, I love Basecamp. So we use Basecamp to manage our team. Our team is international. We have people around the world. You know, we're not a huge team. We're a team of 26, but we use Basecamp to organize and communicate with each other and manage to-dos and responsibilities. And I love Jason Fried and David Hennemeyer Hansen, who started the company. I love their philosophy on business, and that really what attracted me to their software. And I really love using their software.
What is the best way people can reach out to you and know more about Webinar Ninja?
You can find out more about Webinar Ninja at webinarninja.com. Like I mentioned, we do have a free course if you're interested in learning more about webinars. It's a 7-day course to get you started. It's found at webinarninja.com/course. And on the website, you can just hit the contact form and request to speak to me, and I'd be happy to speak to you.
All right, Omar, thank you very much for coming on to the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rohit. It's great to be here.
Thanks for listening to the Life Self Mastery podcast, where we teach you how to start and grow your online business. For more information, visit Rohit's blog at www.lifeselfmastery.com.